All right, so we're going to discuss about the birth of Jesus Messiah. If you have your Bibles, please open to Luke chapter 1. We're going to pick up at Luke chapter 1. And we're going to start reading from verse 26. If you're able to stand with me, please do so. By the way, is it warm in here? Cold? It's cold, so okay. It was getting too warm, so I had to turn that down. I put it to 72. All right, well, I'm at it. You guys are still cold?
Yes.
It's still cold, okay. It's cold outside. So let's put it up a little bit. I don't want anybody to like fall asleep in here. All right, so we're going to be starting reading from Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start reading from verse 26, Luke 1, verse 26. It says, "Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David.'" Verse 33, "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Please pray with me. So Father in heaven, please, Lord, we pray that you would open up our understanding of this passage. Lord, we thank you that today, as we gather actually on the day that we celebrate the birth of Christ Jesus, December 25th, we dedicate again this time, this place, and ourselves to you, Lord. But we ask that you would open up your holy word. Lord, we're talking about the miraculous here. These are things that take faith. And we thank you, Lord, for prophecy. We thank you that you've declared these things all the way from the very first book of the Bible. And so help us, Lord. Help our understanding. Help our belief here. Protect us, Lord, from the work of the enemy and even our own hearts, which may deceive us. Help us to see these miraculous things that you've declared all the way from the book of beginnings, this book that we call Genesis, Lord. So open up our understanding, help us. And Father, last but not least, I pray, Father, that you please prove yet again that you are the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. During this time of year, Lord, we know that it's tough for so many people. Please comfort the hearts. Please encourage us. Help us to continue to have hope to move forward with you in no matter what people are going through, Father. Help us to trust in you no matter what. Help us to stand on your word. You say the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. We can't trust anybody's word these days, but we can trust in you and your word, Lord. So please open up your holy word, this word of truth, for our understanding, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would, please. So perhaps you've heard, I'm going to display this here on the display. There was an article written in 2008 by a guy named Matt Soniak titled, "Are There Really Virgin Births?" Again, his title is, "Are There Really Virgin Births?" And I did a screen capture here. I'm going to show you a little bit in his article, brief article. But in his article, the author writes about some animals having these sorts of virgin births. And he says, quote, "Sometimes, though, there's no boy and there's no sperm. There's just a girl, an egg, and eventually a baby. This virgin birth is called parthenogenesis, from Greek meaning virgin creation. And it happens when an embryo develops by itself without fertilization of an ovum or egg cell. He notes that, quote, scientists have found a number of animals that can reproduce this way. But obviously, this has never occurred with any human beings. Maybe there are some animals, but never with any human beings. But, and until, who? Until, with Mary, she gave birth to who? To Jesus. This has never happened. So that is, this can never happen until Jesus. So while a skeptic may fail at their attempts to approach the virgin birth of Jesus through a scientific lens, one of their biggest obstacles is this. The virgin birth of Jesus was prophesied. It was prophesied. It is prophetical. The virgin birth of Jesus, first thing I want to share with you is that it is prophetical. So as we read here and celebrate the birth of Jesus that we call Christmas, please understand it doesn't start here in our chapter, in our story in Luke 1 or even in the New Testament. If you're taking notes, I want to share a couple of things here with you. We're going to look at, and I'm going to display this on the screen for you. In Isaiah chapter 46, you see, God gives us biblical prophecy to prove that the Bible is of divine origin. This book in your hands, raise up your Bible, church, whether it's an e-sword or a physically printed published Bible. This book is of divine origin. It does not come from this planet, from this earth. It's of divine origin. Here's what God declares in Isaiah chapter 46. You see here on the display, the screen. Verse 8, it says, "Remember this and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me." Notice in verse 10, declaring the end from the what? From the beginning. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." God declares the end from the beginning. And when you go to the book of beginnings that we call Genesis, turn there if you can. Genesis chapter 3, all the way right after the fall of mankind with Adam and Eve and the serpent, the devil, you'll see that God actually gave a prophecy of the virgin birth. This didn't start in Matthew chapter 1 or the New Testament or even Luke chapter 1, which we're in today. God prophesied this. So skeptics try to deny God. They try to play God by proactively trying to come up with their own fabrication of making up a virgin human birth. Can't happen. I love that. But in order to satisfy Satan's temptations for them to be what? God. They're trying to play God. It's the same temptation that Satan gave to Eve in the garden in Genesis. So in order to try to appease their own consciences by trying to discredit and deny the God of the Bible and deny God himself, they're going to try to play God. Even with our modern science, they'll try to proactive, listen to these words, mankind will try to proactively try to use science and our advances to come up with a virgin birth. I love how God mocks non-believers, which again, Romans chapter 1, there are no atheists, there are no non-believers. There are those that suppress the truth. That's Romans chapter 1. God has revealed himself to everybody. So the liars, the deniers, there's those that want to suppress the truth, and because they want others to appease their own consciences, they're going to try to play God. Let's do what God says that only he could do, including the virgin birth. So it's as if God's mocking unbelievers because of things like Bible prophecy. Those things exist outside of our timeline. God declares the end from the beginning. So the virgin birth of Jesus was prophesied around 6,000 years ago. It didn't start in the New Testament. So if you're there, I want to read to you from Genesis 3, and I'm going to display this also on the screen. I want you to know where this is, so when the devil tries lying to you, you will know exactly where God's starting this prophecy to us. The virgin birth of Jesus was prophesied about 6,000 years ago, back when Adam and Eve fell and when they sinned. Here's when God spoke to the serpent after the fall. This is Genesis 3, and in verse 15, again, you see this on the display on the screen, in this slide, God says, quote, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Genesis 3, verse 15. Quick question. We live in a day and age where, let's say, liberals might not be able to tell you what a woman is. That might sound comical, but that's the reality of how far they've gone. I love how God, right here in the beginning book, he tells us what a woman is. Thus the prophecy given. So as you see here, even on the display, I color-coded this in the pink. But basically, ladies and gentlemen, who are the ones with the eggs, so to speak? The women. Okay? We know what a woman is. Well, one way you could define a woman, she's the one that has the eggs. Men do not have eggs. Okay, you don't have to be a politician or a judge to understand that. You just got to read the Bible. You just got to have common sense. So only women have the eggs. It's sad we exist in a culture where this is more relative and makes more sense today. The last couple of years, these things got so confusing. And only men have the seed. We're not going to go through the birds and bees here. This is simple science. Make sense? Raise your hand if this makes sense. Only women have the what? Eggs. And only men have the?
Eggs.
There you go. What is a woman? Well, I feel like no. A woman has the eggs and men have the seed. Simple science. Common sense. And notice this here in the purple. God prophesied of this virgin birth of Jesus Christ, who was to come from a woman and was not begotten by man. So this is the prophecy that God had said after the fall in Genesis 3, verse 15. He speaks this to the serpent, to Satan. "I will put enmity between you and the woman." And yes, God said woman. Okay, you don't got to worry about God's pronouns. "And between your seed and her seed." The challenge and the problem here that people look at is like, wait a second, the woman doesn't have the seed. Exactly. That's why this is the prophecy of the virgin birth of Jesus Messiah. So God prophesied of the virgin birth of Jesus that he was going to come from a woman but not be begotten by man. So in today's crazy mixed up world, just know that this is one of the passages of many you can turn to. You don't know how to define what a woman is, judge, politician. There's so many people that on the liberal side of things. As you might guess, I'm not liberal. I'm conservative. I believe the Bible. We just, screamed out a song. We believe in the birth of Jesus, the literal, physical virgin birth of Jesus. There's so many things. We can't go through that now. But what is a woman? One simple scientific fact is this: only women have the eggs, and only men have the seed. So God prophesied of this birth of Jesus Christ. Next time you're wondering, this is one of the passages of many that you could look to. By the way, have any of you guys seen that movie called What is a Woman? It's comical. Okay, we've seen it. You can subscribe to Daily Wire. And you can watch that. Anyhow, interesting movie. Where a guy goes around, he's traveling to the nation, and he's asking people, especially those on the liberal side, what is a woman? And they didn't want to answer it. Some of you may have seen or seen some of the commercials. Like, what is a woman? He's marching with women for women's rights. Okay, but what is that? You want to march for rights? You want to protect the rights of who? Woman, what is a woman? I don't know. So they're too scared to answer it. God will tell you. Women have the eggs, men have the seed. Simple way. Okay, you don't have to get into so much the genitalia because that gets more confusing. Internally, women have the eggs, men have the seed. All right, so continuing on. When the Lord spoke this to the serpent, realize this was prophesied 4,000 years before Jesus, Messiah, was birthed. That a, quote, woman, did God say woman? Yes. Calls her a woman. He has no problem with pronouns. He has no problem calling himself a he, or that he's the Heavenly Father. Okay, forget the liberal side of things. They're too confused. They can't even define their own terms. And by the way, if someone tells you you got to call them by their pronouns, no, you don't. Where is that? You know, your fake reality should not affect who I am and how I treat people. It's not disrespectful. Okay, it wasn't disrespectful till like a couple years ago. I think about that. Our entire lives, for most of us as adults, we grew up like you never thought about that. And how can you pester a little kid into that? So anyhow, continuing on. He prophesied that a, quote, woman would have a child, and this child would be her seed. Her seed would bruise the head of Satan. So who did that? Jesus. Jesus Messiah. How? By destroying the work of Satan and Satan himself when he died at the cross. So as time went on, God would further refine this prophecy in this thing that we call the Bible, in his word. I'm going to show you here the prophecy. Many of you guys think of this when it comes to be Christmas time. Isaiah chapter 7, you'll see here on the display, verse 14. Time went on, God started to reveal more about this prophecy. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And that's quoted in the New Testament. Emmanuel means what? God with us. So God prophesied this virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Let's come back to our story. Let's go back to Luke. Again, the virgin birth of Jesus, one of the neat things about it that a lot of the so-called scholars and skeptics, they have an issue with it. Not with me. And by the way, again, you don't have the burden to prove the existence of God. Please understand that. We're going through the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1? No. The skeptic has the burden to prove that God does not exist. Good luck! Good luck. How can a liar prove this God of truth does not exist? No. Let God be true and every man be found a liar. So you don't have the burden to prove these things. Prove to me the virgin birth of Jesus. No. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't do the job of the Holy Spirit. You just continue to read and simply believe God's word and preach it. And what happens is he'll open up his word to your understanding. Those that don't have faith, it never opens up. Do you understand that? So the issues that non-believers have is it's a lack of faith. So back to our story here in Luke chapter 1. In this prophesied virgin birth of Jesus Messiah, we've got a couple characters here. One of them is Mary. Now, Mary, she was likely a teenager, because Jewish girls got married when they were very young. I'm looking at my son. He's 13. He's a teenager now. Can you imagine being 13 and being engaged? Pretty scary, right? So we're told that Mary was a, quote, virgin at this time. And we have another person that will be introduced as you put the picture together of the story of the virgin birth of Jesus. Joseph. Joseph was a carpenter. We learn this from Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. If you're taking notes, Matthew 13, verse 55. Joseph was a carpenter. And they were, quote, betrothed. Betrothed means engaged. So Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. And you need to know that being engaged back then was a legally binding contract. Just as good as if they were married, although they did not consummate the marriage. Just as good as they were actually married. This is why in order for Joseph, when you learn another facet about this story, the virgin birth of Jesus, when he found that she was prego, Joseph, look, she was showing is really what the verbiage is saying in another passage. then he decided to, he had it in his mind to put her away privately. He was going to divorce her privately. It's like, good luck. Nobody has a private divorce, right? It gets to be news everywhere. But he would have to divorce her. So the question would be, did they just break the engagement? No. Back then, it would be like a legally binding contract, as if they were already married. They had not consummated their marriage yet. And yet, what God did at this time is he sent his angel Gabriel to a town called Nazareth, or a village. At the time of Jesus, Nazareth was a very small village. It was a, just imagine, picture in your mind, going to some country area. For me, I think of places that we've been to, like in Pennsylvania, oh, very lush and green. Anybody like Pennsylvania? Very green in some of the areas. Some of those areas, you, like cows and cornfields, right? Anybody like that? I like that. Go fishing, chill out. We like doing that with our family. So imagine a small town, a small village. That's like Nazareth. Also, Nazareth didn't have a good reputation. You might remember that Nathanael in the Gospels, he made this statement. He was surprised to hear that Jesus, the one that was others were claiming to be the Messiah, that Jesus was from Nazareth. And remember what Nathanael said? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth? Wow. So that's how you know it didn't have a good reputation, and it was a small village too, even. It's not like, where are you from? Oh, I'm from New York City. Today in America and around the world, oh, New York City, people are jealous of that. Wow, that's the biggest city in America. You're from New York City? But Nazareth, no, it'd be the opposite. It's like, what? Anything good come out of that? No, how is Messiah going to come from that area? And also we learn about his name. Notice this, we learn that his name was going to be what? Jesus, Jesus, or Jesus. Verse 31, shall call his name Jesus. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. So his name Jesus tells us the reason why he's going to be birthed into this earth. You see, his name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. God himself personally will be your savior. Matthew 1 verse 21, the angel Gabriel told Joseph, quote, and she will bring forth a son, meaning Mary, and you, meaning Joseph, you shall call his name Jesus. So the father had named the child. You got to accept him, Joe. You got to call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. Imagine that. You're still a kid, perhaps. I'm 54 now. I got to think like many moons ago, many years ago. Imagine, though, you're around teenage years or something like that. And God's revealing some kind of crazy prophecy like this to you. You heard about the prophecy because you knew the scriptures from before. But then God's telling you that this prophecy is going to be realized through you. How are you going to feel? Anybody be scared? No? You guys are all bold with it? Like, yeah, bring it on, God. How would the ladies feel if God's telling you, yeah, you're going to be the one that the Messiah is going to be birthed through? You're going to bring forth the son. And then the guys, like, you got to name him Jesus. You're going to be sort of stepdad, right? He's not going to have your DNA, Joseph. You're going to be sort of stepdad. Why is he coming into this planet, to this earth from heaven? He will save his people from their sins. So the virgin birth of Jesus, I want us to understand that it was prophetical. This is not something that just happened. This was already planned out. This was God's plan A from the beginning, from Genesis chapter 3, as we saw. The virgin birth of Jesus was prophetical. Also, the virgin birth of Jesus was obviously miraculous. It was prophetical, but it was also miraculous. Let's pick up here in Luke 1, verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now we know for him to be considered and called the Son of God. We know from John's Gospel, John's book, that declares Jesus as deity, that Jesus is God. The fact that Jesus is God himself. Verse 36, now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. Notice in verse 37, for with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So notice the words of Gabriel and Mary. Gabriel says, for with God nothing will be impossible. Perhaps you're here and you need to hear that. Perhaps you're listening and you need to hear and know that. That with God nothing is impossible. Notice also the words of Mary here, where she says, let it be to me according to your word. Folks, let's say God speaks to you. You're reading his word and he's speaking to you and you know it's him. This is not just your desire from your heart that you conjure up in your heart and mind, but God is speaking to you through his word. Can he speak to me as I read the Bible? Yes, he's already spoken. This is his word. He's speaking to you. Let it be to me according to your word. Wouldn't that be awesome, what God would do through our lives? If we have faith at face value, we simply read and apply God's word. And God speaks to you. Maybe it's to repent. Maybe it's to believe and have faith or step forward or move forward, whatever it is. Every day you come to the Lord reading his word, he'll speak to you, right? I love this heart of Mary. Let it be to me according to your word. May the Lord give us faith to simply believe and walk out God's word and allow him to do with our lives and through our lives what he wants to do. So let's remember these words and even the words of the angel Gabriel here. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Again, maybe someone needs to hear that today, that you're believing something that God has told you. And maybe it's been time. Oh, Lord, I've been praying. It's been so long. These 5 minutes I've been praying. You didn't bring about this prophecy. But with God, nothing will be impossible. Have faith. Maybe it's just not your time. Maybe it's just not the season. For with God, nothing will be impossible. And I'm going to display it on the screen here. I want you to see this. I did the homework here for you so you don't have to. In Luke 1, verse 37, where the angel Gabriel says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. I did a little screen capture in my Bible study software here. This word for impossible, adunateo. I circled it here also so you can see a synonym. Not cinnamon. That's what you put on like bread and all. the rolls. cinnamon. Synonym. To be unable. For with God, nothing will be impossible. There's nothing that God is unable to do. Well, some will sit there and go, well, God, can you call yourself out of existence? No, that's ridiculous. Or God, can you create a rock that you can't lift? That's also ridiculous. It's got to be within the context of his word. But this word for impossible can mean to be unable. With God, nothing is impossible. With God, there's nothing he is not capable of doing. This is why we must believe these miracles. They did really happen. These weren't just conjured or made up stories by mankind. And when teaching about salvation, Jesus said in Matthew 19, verse 26, he said, with men, this is impossible. Even about salvation. Salvation is impossible for men. With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are what? Possible. With God, all things are possible. He speaks that about salvation. How about with this? With this miracle. So with man, a human virgin birth is impossible. Furthermore, for any mere human woman to proactively try to make the Holy Spirit impregnate them, Can I say that word too? Impregnate. Am I saying that right? That's impossible. God, I command you. Send the Holy Ghost. Impregnate me. God would be like, uh-uh. Did it once. No more. Come on, if you could do that with Darth Vader. Yeah, where did he rip off that story? He ripped it off from the Bible. Okay. Star Wars. They owe God some money. So, for any mere human woman to proactively, there's prophecy where God speaks beforehand. He declares the end from the beginning. But mankind will try to proactively try to play God. How can you force the Holy Spirit to impregnate you? Good luck on trying. You're going to die and stay dead. Okay, won't happen. God did it through one. That's why it was a sign that a virgin will give birth. So modern science tries to proactively conjure up how to reproduce a, quote, virgin birth within human beings. But they forget one big factor, that this virgin birth of Jesus was a miracle. It was miraculous. So the virgin birth of Jesus was not only prophetical, it was also miraculous. So what does that mean? So it went against the natural laws of science. That's why science can never conjure it up. We can't proactively do it. God just has to prophesy. He's mocking us, going, try to build your own Tower of Babel. Try to be your own God. When are you going to stop following Satan? It's basically what he's saying to people. And simply believe him. But that's not us. We are those that believe him. Amen? He said it. Let's just believe it. And then for those that believe it, he's going to open up our understanding. That's just the way it works with the Lord. So Jesus had to be birthed into this world through a virgin, like Gabriel said, for with God nothing will be, what? Impossible. Nothing will be impossible. Maybe you need to hear this today. With God, nothing will be impossible. Perhaps that'll be a word from the Lord to someone. Luke 1 verse 37, for with God nothing will be impossible. So this is how Jesus bypassed the sin nature when Adam and Eve fell into sin and died. There's a sin nature that each and every one of us are now born into. Every single one of us. So how did Jesus come into this world without sin, starting as perfect and living a perfect life without having the stain of the original sin? That's why he had to bypass that and be birthed through a virgin. And Mary did not stay a perpetual virgin. Anybody hear of that? That's also a lie from Satan. That's not biblical. Jesus had brothers and sisters, right? Let's keep reading the word and stay with the word, not fabricated stories or fables. So Jesus bypassed the sin nature that we all have that came from Adam and Eve. Here's what Job writes. Job 14 verse 4 says, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one. That's Job 14, verse 4. So Jesus had to bypass that stain of original sin in order to be birthed there perfect, pure, holy, and still a baby that Mary and Joseph would have to change his diapers. And he lived in Nazareth, roughly 30 years, living in obscurity. The virgin birth of Jesus was miraculous. Also, and I'm going to close here in a little bit just to, I don't want to go over our time. The virgin birth of Jesus was also historical. The virgin birth of Jesus was prophetical. It was prophesied. It was also miraculous. It went against the laws of nature, of science, if you want to say. And the virgin birth of Jesus was historical. So throughout all history, you might laugh when you see this slide. I like looking at it like this. Throughout all history, there's only been one human being that could bend the calendar. Only one. There will never be another. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ is historical. It's the world's one and only event that actually split our calendar. As you see here on the display, what we call BC or before Christ, no matter what year you have that you sign on your checks, or when you sign your signature, you are giving credit and honor and glory to the virgin birth of Jesus Messiah. Do you know that? A lot of people don't. That's why skeptics and non-believers will try to change it. Instead of BC, they'll call it, have you heard of BC BCE, before Common Era. They change it. No, BCE stands for before Christ, and AD, that's Latin, Anno Domini. It means in the year of the Lord. So today, this is the last Sunday of what year? 2023, Anno Domini, AD, in the year of the Lord. Next Sunday, we're going to gather, and I want to encourage you guys to come. That'll be January 1st, the first Sunday of the year. Kick off the year with us in high fashion. Anno Domini, it will be what year? 2023, the only event that split the calendar. As time goes on, it's just like everything else, people forget. And those that want to be revisionists, that want to erase or change history, they'll try to. They'll try to lie to you. It's even been taught in our schools. No, don't call it BC, before Christ. Call it BCE, before Common Era. Oh, okay. Okay, scientist. Okay, liar. No, just stick with what it is. So throughout all of history, only one person has ever split the world's most common calendar. And with this person's historical record, history records only one main event that was so remarkable that all of humanity pays tribute to this remarkable event. You do in your entire life, and you didn't even know it. The day you were born within a hospital, someone had to sign off on your birth certificate, didn't they? And your birth certificate that denotes your birthday has the month, has the day, and has the what? The year. And guess what is paying tribute to when they put that year on? For me, it was 1968. AD, or Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. That pays tribute and honor and glory to the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Most of us grow up in America. You're never taught that by schools. We have no idea, no clue. But you give honor to that. You write a check and you give honor to that. You write down today's date, which is what? December 25th, 2022, AD, Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. Because you're forced to write down the date. Try to go to a bank and sign a document. Try to get hired on at your job and sign a document without having a date. It will never happen. I love how God mocks the unbelievers. You can't sign your name on an important document without paying tribute to this one event because you're forced to write down the date. Many of us don't think about this. This is truth and it's reality. So in fact, this one event has all the world's historical events pointing forward. You see here on the display in the red, everything BC, before Christ was birthed through the virgin birth, everything looked forward to the virgin birth, as God prophesied, we read in Genesis 3. And then after this one event occurred, of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, every other event, including your events and the billions of events that will transpire every single day, including today, including when you do a post on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter. Some of you guys might be on YouTube right now. It's paying honor and tribute to that. Why? Because it's the date that's attributed to that. Everything now is Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. Everything looks back to this one important event. So after this one event, all other events that happen contain a date that points backward to this world's one event, including all of today's events in your own life. You guys have one of these things? Take it out if you will. Smartphone, right? Or a phone. On my lock screen, on your lock screen, what do you see besides the picture? The date. Go tell Apple. They're paying honor, tribute, and glory to the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Well, I don't have an Apple phone. Go tell Google with the Android phones. They're paying honor and glory and tribute to this one event. What is that? The virgin birth of Jesus Christ. So it's so important that our history's events are denoted with the terms BC, before Christ, and AD, Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. You and I have this privilege now today. As we continue to learn about this story, we're going to stop for our time right now to just respect the time. But I want to encourage you to continue to read into Luke in his book, as well as the other Gospels. This is a time of year that you're going to have relatives and friends, others that you don't see very often. You're going to have them around you. Is that anybody? Okay, we're going to have some of Susan's relatives come into town, which is great. Use this time to be a source of light to point people to Jesus Christ at your workplace, wherever you live. Use this time. I say this to others. I even posted this on Facebook. I work in a place where I calculated, and it was only a couple people that actually told me Merry Christmas. I had tons of people, probably over 100 so far, that told me what? Happy Holidays. You know what I always responded with? Merry Christmas. And I look them in the face, and some people are like, oh yeah, Happy Holidays. Because they don't want to say that one word, what? Christ. Now take advantage of this time of year where God's given you the open door. We pray for open doors. God, open doors, open people's hearts. He's given you one right now. Can we all stand, please? Let's close it with a word of prayer. I want to pray that God would give us boldness, give us a deeper passion for Him, but empower us by His Spirit. Amen? So we need His empowerment, that you could be a source of light for Jesus Christ. Because this world is getting more and more dark. And, you know, that's one way to kind of track it in the areas of your sphere of influence. You might have a ton of people saying, Happy Holidays. Or even, Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas, I'll say to them back. They may get offended. That's okay. The name of Jesus Christ also splits the room, not just the calendar, doesn't it? And when you go to your times with your relatives, maybe you have believers. That's awesome. Maybe they'll let you pray. That's awesome. Be a source of light to point people to Jesus Christ, especially during this time of year. Amen? Father in heaven, we ask that you please would give us power from on high. We ask you that you please would strengthen us. The same Holy Spirit, you, God, the Spirit that indwelt Mary to impregnate her for the virgin birth. God, we ask for your empowerment today. We know that you fill us as born-again believers. Oh, Lord, help our unbelief. All of us are bombarded by the ways of the world and Satan's marketing strategies, Lord. There are thousands of things that hit us and attack us that are all designed to pull us away, to distract us from you. Help us, Lord, to focus on you. Help us, God, during this time of year that we would remember that it's not about just giving and receiving presents, but it's about the birth of Jesus. Lord, whether we celebrate that on December 25th or June 25th, it doesn't matter the day of the year. What we do want to celebrate and give honor, praise, and glory to is the fact that, yes, God, John 3:16, you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. And when he left heaven and put on a body of flesh, he is fully God and yet fully man. Birth into this earth through a virgin so he wouldn't have that stain of the original sin from Adam and Eve. Born perfect, lived a perfect life, filled Torah, and went to a cross. And at the cross, as you died for us, Jesus, you said, it is finished. All the work that you would have to do for our eternal salvation, to save us from the fires of hell and the lake of fire, and to give us entrance into heaven by your grace, your work, you had accomplished for us. It is finished. There's nothing we could do. We weren't even there to nail the nails into you. While we were still in our sins, Christ, you died for us. So help us, Lord, to be used by you now. So we gather this day that we call Christmas Day, Christmas Sunday. But as we leave this place, we leave as missionaries. So, Father, help our faith. Give us boldness. Give us more passion, Lord, to seek you. And help us, Lord, as we close out this year and walk into the next, help us, Lord, to serve you. Help us to commit to that, Lord, to apply your word in the New Testament, that we wouldn't just serve our own walks. We wouldn't just serve our wife or spouse. We wouldn't just serve our own families. But we would take up our cross daily, deny ourselves, take up our cross daily and follow you. We want to be your disciple. We want to learn of your ways. We want your understanding in our hearts to open up, Lord. But that means you're waiting for us to simply have faith. Help us to commit to you, Lord. But God, we know that these commands that you give us, there's no way that we can do them in our own strength. We need your empowerment, Lord. So empower us and send us out as missionaries into this dead and dying world. For we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.